in the series we're in called Help, I was thinking about, you know, how the Lord helps us specifically as a father. And so I just want to talk about that. But before we do, let's pray real quick. Lord, thank you for today. Lord, thank you that you are our Father. You are the perfect example of what it means to be a father, to be loved by a father, Lord. And today I just pray that your kindness and your grace and your mercy would be evident today in all of our lives, Lord. So, Lord, I just ask you to speak to us this morning and encourage us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So today's Father's Day, and you know, Father's Day is it's a good day for a lot of people, but sometimes I've been through some Father's Days in the past where it hasn't been so good, you know, whether that's been through loss or pain or having lost a father in my life, I remember having a Father's Day where I was angry, because I tried to make an effort to build a relationship with my biological father, and it was disappointing. There were some Father's Days where before I had a child of my own, I saw everybody else with a kid, and I was like, God, like, how come, you know, I'm tired of people asking me why I'm not a dad yet, you know? And I'm like, I'm trying, you know. So Father's Day, like, I feel like Father's Day and Mother's Day, those things are kind of, they're just like, I say they're made up holidays by the greeting card companies just to like mess with us. But they just want to get another reason for us to buy something. But Father's Day is one of those times where if you think about it, and like it's not good for everybody. It depends on their experiences as a father. It depends on all kinds of stuff. And so I'm just reminded of how the Lord wants to treat us as His children. And the best example I can give is my daughter. She's 2.5, and she's talking. She's tall for her age. She can get around the house. We can play catch together. She has a little scooter that she rides around in the cul-de-sac, and she's just growing up so fast. And so one of the things we did for my wife's birthday was we baked some cupcakes. And my daughter does this thing where anytime we're cooking in the kitchen, she wants to help. And so she'll go grab a chair from the kitchen table, and she'll drag it into the kitchen and climb up on it and stand at the counter, at the kitchen counter, and want to help cook, you know. And I'm like, you gonna make a mess. and I think that's the she wants to help. So of course, like, we baked my wife some cupcakes for her birthday a while back, and did I need her help? No. Was she helping? Maybe. Did she make a mess? Yes, of course. But I thought about that today as I was coming in, and like how much God helps us. And God, as a father, He doesn't want our help, and He doesn't need our help. But the main reason that the Lord wants to partner with His people is because He desires a relationship with them. And so I asked my daughter to help me bake Bommy cupcakes because I want her beside me. I want her with me, doing it with me. And I'm going to guide her at every step of the way. I'm going to make sure she's not throwing stuff in there that's not supposed to be in there. I'm going to make sure that she doesn't make too much of a mess. Did she make a mess? Of course, but nothing got spilled on the floor. Mom got cupcakes for her birthday, and all was well. And so I'm just going to go through the HELP acronym that we have in our series, which is Holy Ghost, Equip, Lead, and Prepare. And the first one is the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. And I love this verse in Romans 8, 26 through 28. It says, "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them." And so the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. And I think the main thing that God the Father does as far as helping us is He helps us how to pray. He sent us the Helper. He sent us the Holy Spirit. And I think I was thinking about this, like, when we don't know what to pray, we should be praying in the Spirit until we hear what to pray for. I think that's something that's lost in my generation. I know this is it sounds old school, but my generation doesn't know what it's like to travail in the Spirit, and to wait upon the Lord, to not, almost like the woman with the issue of blood, not to break through until we feel the power of God. And I think that's something that's missing in the church, even today, where we'll pray a prayer, but we won't pray long enough to see results happen. We won't pray until we're in alignment with what the Holy Spirit's doing. We won't linger in the presence of God long enough to actually garner a response from Him. And it says the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. And especially in the church in America, we've got to acknowledge that we're weak before we can get help. You know, if there's somebody who I see it all the time working with people that are struggling with an addiction, and until they admit that they have a problem, they can't be helped. You know, I've dealt with people from drug addiction to anything from pornography to even lying. Lying is an addiction. I've met some habitual liars that will not stop lying, even though I've literally caught them in lies and they would lie about lying. Like, I'm like, you need to stop. Everybody knows you're lying. But until they admit they have a problem, they're not going to get help, right? And it's the same way in the Spirit. If we're facing something that we think we can handle on our own, the Lord loves us enough to let us try and figure it out. Because we're going back to, we're in God's kitchen trying to bake a cake. And He will let us mess up until we ask Him for help. Because He wants to be involved with it. So we've got to pray in the Spirit. That's the first one. With the help of the Holy Spirit. The second one is equip. And I was thinking about this. There's so many good stories about in the Bible about sons, and there's so many kings that had sons and things like that. But let me read this first, sorry. Galatians 4, 6 through 7 says, "And because we are His children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, 'Abba, Father.' Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are His child, He has made you His heir." So we are heirs, seated with Jesus, with Christ. God seats us at His table. And I was reminded of the story of, I mispronounce this name all the time, but it's Mephibosheth. In 2 Samuel 9, I believe it is, where David is the king of Israel, and he's looking for someone who is related to his best friend, who was the son of Saul. And he's like, is there anyone that I can show kindness to? And he says this to Mephibosheth. He says, don't be afraid, David said. I intend to show kindness to you because of my promise to your father, Jonathan. I will give you all the property that once belonged to your grandfather, Saul, and you will eat here with me at the king's table. Mephibosheth bowed respectfully and exclaimed, who is your servant that you should show such kindness to a dead dog like me? Then the king summoned Saul's servant Ziba and said, I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and to produce food for your master's household. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, will eat here at my table. Ziba replied, yes, my lord, the king. I am your servant, and I will do all you have commanded. And from that time on, Mephibosheth ate regularly at David's table like one of the king's own sons. You see, in that day when David replaced Saul as king, and in those days, basically, anytime there was a new king, the old king's entire lineage would get wiped out. And it would just basically get replaced. So this grandson was, as soon as they found out that David was the new king, they assumed that like he was just going to come for everybody just to get rid of the entire lineage of Saul. And Mephibosheth was just a child. And when they were running and fleeing from their house, he was dropped by a servant and he was crippled from a young age. And the story goes that he was crippled and there he was just the only one left. And what spoke to me the most was that it wasn't his fault that he was crippled. He was born into a family that deserved death. Like, right? Like we all do. But David, who is a representative or a type and shadow of Christ and representing the Lord in this passage, David, out of his kindness, says, you don't have my inheritance, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. You were broken. You were crippled by something that was out of your control. And we're going to carry you and place you at my table to eat. And you're going to eat at my table like you're one of my own sons. And that's what happens with the Lord. We don't deserve to be here. We don't deserve to partake of the things we partake in. But because of who God is and because of his kindness, he'll take our rags, he'll turn them into beautiful garments. You know, we may feel like we've lost it all. We may feel like we're a slave. We may feel like we're not worthy of being loved and not worthy of sitting at the table of the Lord. But God says, no, I'm going to call you up. I'm going to call you a son. I'm going to call you a daughter. I'm going to put a ring on your finger. I'm going to give you a new robe. You're not going to have the inheritance that you deserve, that your family has given you, but I'm going to give you a new inheritance by proclamation of the king. And so God crowned him with riches and glory. He crowned him with an identity that he thought was lost. He had no earthly inheritance anymore. But God came in and intervened and brought him a supernatural inheritance. And he was able to tap into a covenant that he didn't even know he was a part of. And I think that's encouraging for every single one of us, because we can, no matter where we come from, no matter what walk of life, no matter what our upbringing is, the blood of Jesus has cleared the playing floor. You know, I'm watching some of the World Cup games right now, and I don't keep up with soccer, but it's exciting, and I don't know who's good and who's not, you know. But the thing is, like, the Lord has evened the playing field for anyone who calls on his name. And he'll give us exactly what we need when we need it. I heard it, we say it all the time at church, but the Lord doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. Right? And then I found the times where the Lord's prepared me the most is the times that I did not feel prepared to step into something. I remember one time there was I met with the pastor of a church I was attending out in Texas, and I wasn't looking for a job. I was just trying to graduate Bible college, you know, and he came to me and he's like, "Hey, we're looking for a new youth pastor soon. Would you be interested?" And I was like, I didn't do too good as a youth pastor at the first church I was at, so I think I'm just going to stick to being a worship leader, if that's okay. And he's like, "Why?" I was like, "I don't want to screw it up." And he's like, "So you're going to let one mishap or one?" And I didn't screw it up at the first place I was at. I just felt like that, you know, because it wasn't in, people weren't busting the doors down. And so he's like, "You're going to let one circumstance dictate your entire future?" And I was like, "All right, you're right. That's why you're my pastor and I've been going here." But I did not feel qualified to take that position, but the Lord had other intentions and other ideas for me. The next one is leads. And how does God the Father lead us? John 10:27 says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." I'm learning this right now with my daughter. My daughter is learning my voice, but she doesn't know it that well yet. Not like when she'll be older. She's 2.5, but like she's getting there, but she's hard-headed too, so she's learning. But parents, if you're a parent in here, you know there could be 20 kids on the playground, but when you shout their name or you use their first and middle name or their first, middle, and last name, they know who's talking and they know what to do real quick. My parents were like that with me. And the thing is, my parents didn't like nicknames, so my name's Ben, but like my full name's Benjamin. But like my parents call me Benjamin. So anytime I were out in public, my parents would be like, "Benjamin," and I'm like, "It's Ben, Mom. Gosh, you're embarrassing me in front of my friends." But I knew it was them talking to me. And the way the Lord leads us is through his voice. And just like my daughter's learning my voice right now, she's just getting distracted by everything. But the older she gets and the longer and the more time I spend with her, the easier it's going to be for her to recognize my voice when I call. And it's the same thing with the Lord. The closer we get to the heart of the Father, the closer we get in proximity to him, and the more time we spend with him, God won't have to shout at us like we're 2, 3, like we're a toddler trying to get a toddler's attention, you know? But the longer we walk with God, the shouts become maybe a little bit quieter, to the point where we're walking with God and we can hear that still small whisper of his voice in our everyday lives, and to where sometimes we just know what he's saying without him having to, "Hey," you know? Because I think that's the heart of the Lord, that we recognize his voice, that he doesn't just, I don't think God wants to have to shout at us, you know? I don't think he does. I say shout, that's a term that we as human. That's a human comparison, but the closer we get to the Lord, I really do believe that the less He'll have to speak directly to us, and the more we can just follow Him and follow His leanings and just flow with what He's doing. But when we're younger, I appreciate the Lord, I say, raising His voice at me from that. And the last thing is the Lord prepares us. In Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, it says this. He says, "We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they may, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love." The Lord prepares us through the things, through trials, not always, but when we run into problems and trials, we know that the Lord will use those to develop endurance. And actually, I'm going to read the NIV version of this. I did everything in NLT earlier, but the NIV version is, I think, better. I don't know, maybe it's just because what I grew up on, but it says, "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not put us to shame. But because we know God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who He has given to us." So the Lord uses problems and trials and circumstances to develop endurance. And when we develop endurance, we develop character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. So we can count the sufferings of our present age, you know. We can count it all as joy. It says we can rejoice when we run into problems and trials. What if we faced every problem and every trial with joy? What if we said, "Lord, thank You for developing endurance in me," you know. "Thank You for developing my character, God. Thank You for using this to strengthen my confident hope in Your salvation. I'm learning to, right now I'm learning to, well, my wife, are, I'm going to give you a little insight on how me and my wife are with our daughter. We are finding out we have two separate parenting styles, kind of. My wife likes to try and negotiate. And I don't negotiate with terrorists. You know, my daughter will get upset with something, and my wife will be like, "Well, you can just pick one toy." Or we were at Dave and Buster's the other day, and she won some tickets. So we were trying to figure out what she wanted, and she did not know. And I was like, "Just get the chicken and let's go." And she started crying. She's like, "I don't." I was like, "Fine, you're getting nothing. Let's go." And she's like, daughter's crying. She's overstimulated to Dave and Buster's. Too many lights going on, whatever. And my wife's like, "You can either have this or that, but you can't have both." And she's trying to explain to her, and my daughter's just crying. And I'm like, we can't just keep giving in to stuff and letting her have whatever she wants. But that's not what she's doing. She's trying to get her to think and manage her emotions. I don't know women. I still don't. Still can't figure them out. So she's like, this is what she needs to do. She needs to figure out how she's feeling and how to articulate with her words what she's saying. And I was like, no, she's... She's getting one toy, we're getting out of here, okay? I already spent $50 on a plastic duck. We're going. And, but I'm more of a, make sure that I was like, we're not going to, because I don't want my daughter to feel like she, which she can anyways, but I want it to be on my terms, not hers. I don't want her to think every time she cries, she can get whatever she wants, you know? And my heart for her is that she would learn to be, what's the word? That she would be decisive, but also not feel like she has to twist my arm to get what she wants. Because I think, and so I'm trying to, we're trying to figure out that balance right now. And on one hand, I want to give her everything she wants because I love her so much. But at the same time, I need her to learn that she doesn't get everything she wants. You know, she's going to get what's best for her, not what she thinks is best for her. And I believe that's the heart of the Lord for all of us, is that we not just get what we think we need, but we get what we actually need. Because she wants to stay up and eat ice cream, you know, but mommy and daddy are tired, you know. So we got to figure it out. And it's just going to, and I love like seeing how much God shows me more about him through my kid than I ever thought. You know, I thought I had it all figured out, but every time I like can get frustrated or mad or whatever, the Lord's like, see how hard it is? You thought it was easy. But I really want what's best for her. And so I feel the heart of the Lord in that for us. And so when I discipline her, or even when we're playing outside, she's learning how to ride a scooter right now. She knows how to go, but she doesn't know how to stop. So she'll just crash into stuff. And my biggest thing right now with her is to get back up. If she's crying, you know, and some, it's another thing my wife will go over, oh, baby, are you okay? And I'm like, get up. You're fine. You got a helmet. But I'm trying to make sure she gets back up, you know, and doesn't just like, oh, I crashed on a scooter one time, I'm never going to try it again. Because I want her to learn those life lessons now. And so all of us that are parents or have kids around us, nieces, nephews, we know that feeling of wanting what's best for them and wanting to prepare them for life. And my daughter actually said, that's not fair, the other day. And I was like, you don't even know what that means. You're 2 and a half. She just be repeating stuff. But as I close, I just really felt that strongly in my heart, that the way the Lord helps us right now, I just feel the heart of the Lord that he is a good father to us. He is kind, he's gentle, he's not like earthly fathers that we've had. Even the best earthly fathers still have shortcomings that don't compare to the heart of the Lord. And so my heart for us this morning, and I feel like what the Lord's saying is just to return to that childlike faith where we really see ourselves like his children, where we can really receive from him like we're his children, so he can prepare us, he can shape us, he can lead us. So I'm just going to pray for us this morning. Lord, thank you for speaking to us.